The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It is 6:06 on the Bruce Hooley Show, Wednesday edition. Glad to have you along. Send me an email, bruce@989theanswer. Pick up your phone and call 844-TALK-989, 844-TALK-989. If you'd like to participate in our program, we had U.S. Senate candidate Bernie Moreno on the show at 5:30 today. We will replay that interview for you at 6:30 today. We have an endorsement in the U.S. 15th Congressional District race. Donald Trump endorses Mike Carey. Mike Carey is the VP of Government Affairs at American Consolidated Natural Resources. It's a coal mining company. He's a veteran, and he's got all the bona fides. I mean, he's pro-life and pro-police and pro-gun, and it seems to me all the candidates on the Republican side are. But it is telling that Mike Carey got Donald Trump's endorsement and that Jeff LaRae received Steve Stiver's endorsement and that Ruth Edmonds has received the Family Policy Alliance endorsement and others of family faith-oriented organizations. We await whether Bob Peterson, Stephanie Kunze, and the other myriad candidates in the field will get their own endorsements. I don't know if the Dispatch is going to make an endorsement. Well, for sure they are, of a Democrat. That we know. Of course they will. But Donald Trump met with Mike Carey. Mike Carey has been seen with and networking with Corey Lewandowski. So, not surprising, but I think significant, because Donald Trump's win in the district by a whopping 14 points cannot be understated. So, Mike Carey, probably a very happy camper today, and I await the first public polls on that race to see how LaRae and Edmonds, the two candidates we have talked to, are doing in relation to Mike Carey. And any of the other candidates, you're perfectly free to reach out, and we will introduce you to our listeners just the way we did Bernie Moreno at the bottom of the hour. The Columbus Division of Police has three officers facing misdemeanor charges in connection with their supposed actions during the protests of last summer in the aftermath of the George Floyd death in Minneapolis. Officer Tracy Shaw, Sergeant Holly Canode, and Officer Philip Walls, all charged with getting a little bit too liberal, it appears, with their pepper spray. It's interesting because Shaw is someone who has been used before to teach safety protocol to police. So, look, I don't condone roguish policing at all. I do not condone roguish policing at all. In an instance like last summer, where you have police outnumbered by a mob that is getting angrier by the second, that wants to exact revenge against law enforcement for something these particular law enforcement officers did not do, but an officer in Minneapolis did do, I would say that that calls for some recognition of the difficulty of the situation on the part of those who look at this with a rigid standard. In a typical situation, if you have people taking, if you have someone walking in the street, you walk up to them and you pepper spray them, oh, that looks really bad. Everything looks bad on video from a policeman's body camera because we are not equipped as civilians to see and process in real time the messy reality of policing. We just aren't. We're not equipped emotionally to deal with instant access to every catastrophic tragedy and death around the world. But we can watch it on our phones, on demand, anytime we want to. This has desensitized us to our respect for life, and this has also introduced to us an unrealistic view of police officers as some kind of robotic figure that will never get the same kind of anxiety or adrenaline rush that you or I would get if we were faced even once with the kind of dangerous situations they face on a daily basis. So, yeah, I've seen the video. Is it perfect policing? I don't know. Does it look like it's an open and shut case to me that they committed some kind of a misdemeanor offense by using pepper spray? I'm not too sure about that either. So I will wait and see how this comes out. I do think there is an absolute bloodlust in our city right now to make cops look as bad as we can. The new chief and her hand-picked new deputy chief, both coming from Detroit, will be undoubtedly served better in the portions of the community that they need to win over if they can put a cop or two or three on the spit and rotate them around over the hot fire of public rebuke. That is indisputable. If they come in and they say, no, everything's fine in the division of police, nobody did anything wrong, there are too many braying mules in the Greater Columbus Faith Coalition, or as it should be called, the Greater Columbus Fake Coalition, stirring anger, sowing seeds of discord, doing the exact opposite of what preachers of the gospel should be doing. There are enough braying mules in that crowd of dissenters that they are stoking anger in the city. And so they will reap the due penalty of their perversion in time, but not immediately. And so I hope that the law enforcement officers who are charged are fairly represented in court and get a much fairer trial than Derek Chauvin did. That is for sure. Now, our friend of show, Jack Windsor, on the OhioStar.com, reports that guess whose name shows up in Dr. Anthony Fauci's treasure trove of emails? None other than Ohio Governor Mike DeWine. A National Institute of Health doctor named Peter Kilmarks sent an email in April of 2020 telling Dr. Fauci that Mike DeWine would be part of a group of Republican governors who would be, quote, most interested and helpful to encourage implementation and create demand for a COVID-19 response corps. The governor's office had no comment on this when Jack Windsor reached out to them. This indicates the tenuous situation Mike DeWine is going to be in the primary election for his almost certain bid for re-election in 2022. Because Mike DeWine, it's one of the rare instances where we're so polarized in our country. It's not necessarily a good thing for Mike DeWine to have people on the opposite side of the political aisle think he did a pretty good job on COVID. Because for them to think he did a pretty good job on COVID, the people on his side of the aisle most likely believe he overreached on COVID. And so I say again, this is another example of another piece of information that DeWine's challenger in the primary, will it be only Jim Renee say? Yeah, then fine, DeWine will win. Will it be Attorney General Dave Yost? Will it be Lieutenant Governor John Husted? Probably not. But Husted is tethered irrevocably to Mike DeWine. And I'm not sure that's a good thing for John Husted going forward. So we'll see. But this reporting by Jack Windsor, as thorough as it always is, Will be interesting to see how much fodder it provides for whoever Mike DeWine's opponent is in the Republican primary. Now, at 6:06 on Friday, we do emails from you answering legal questions, and we don't do it ourselves. We don't play an attorney on the radio. No, no. We get a real one. Stan Willis, or one of his partners from Willis Spangler Starling, will join us and will respond to the questions you email to me at bruce@9890answer.com. The legal profession is one where you can find an attorney on virtually every street corner. But you do not want to settle for just any attorney firm, because when you go to court, it's A, important. It's A, your Super Bowl. You're either the object of an action or pressing an action. Your legal rights must be protected, but more so, your name, your integrity, your character must be protected. Willis Spangler Starling, above reproach. If they weren't, they would not be my attorney firm. But they are, and so they are. And I would highly recommend them to you. Where the law intersects with life on personal injury, wills, estate planning, employment law, Social Security, workers' compensation, anything like that, Willis Spangler Starling is the firm that you need to protect your legal rights in court. A free consultation, take your case on contingency. They'd be more than happy to talk about it. WillisAttorneys.com, WillisAttorneys.com, and make sure you send your legal questions to Bruce@9890answer.com. .620, Bruce Hooley Show. Thanks for joining us. 844-TALK-989, 844-TALK-989. We played the cut yesterday of the unfortunate Kamala Harris response to Lester Holt when he asked her about when are you going to the border? I mean, you're in charge of the border. Shouldn't you maybe go down and look around at the border? And she's like, oh, you know, I mean, I've been to the border. And then she gave the Joker laugh. Here's how it sounded if you have forgotten.
Just quickly put a button.
Okay.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
Well, I'm
the point he was making is that we share a border on our southern border with Mexico. And there are thousands of people streaming across that border. We do not share a border with Europe. So whether you've been to Europe or not been to Europe is pretty irrelevant. Kamala Harris, as you know, went to Guatemala and went to Mexico to, she says, address the root causes of the border crisis. The border crisis is important to you because a lot of drugs enter our country that way. It's not so much only about the people who come into our country illegally, who then could impact a future election by voting for Democrats, because, of course, it's racist to require a voter ID that says you're a citizen of the country, which you're supposed to be to vote. But the drugs that could stream across the border can easily find their way to Central Ohio. Do we need to have any greater illustration of the danger of drugs making it into our area than the crash on I-71 that killed a family of four driving south on I-71 near the Delaware County, Morrow County line, minding their own business? A woman with fentanyl in her system inexplicably crosses the median, hits their Toyota RAV4 SUV, and a young man and young woman, husband and wife, under the age of 40, their two kids under the age of 16, all killed in a horrific, fiery crash. She had fentanyl in her system. That is why the border is important. Do we need to recap the number of people who've died in the opioid crisis in the state of Ohio? I don't think so. That is why it is offensive when Kamala Harris just joker laughs her way through being put in charge of the border and does nothing about it. And now she is all but admitting that her trip to the border to address the root causes of the border crisis was an epic failure. because she never got around to discussing with Mexico's president his refusal to take people who are streaming across the border and have been since January the 23rd. And you say, January 23rd. January the 23rd. Why does that date stick in my mind? Why does that date stick in my mind? Well, because January 20th was the inauguration of Joe Biden. And Donald Trump was out of office. And new policies on the border were being put into effect. When Trump was in office, those families were not allowed to cross. But when Biden got here, as a Customs and Border Protection agent named Troy Miller told Congress last month, the surge began on January the 23rd when Mexico ceased to be willing to take back Northern Triangle families with young children under the age of 7. He says, we encountered 2,439 migrants between ports of entry on March 19th alone. We had over 2,600 unaccompanied children, of which 1,900 were held for 72 hours in our soft-sided facilities. This agreement that the Trump administration had, that the Mexican president ceased to enforce after Biden came in office, is known as Title 42. Title 42. That's the name of the agreement. Harris was asked yesterday if she discussed Title 42 with the Mexican president. She said, we did not discuss Title 42. Now, we are on track to spend hundreds of millions of dollars, $310 million in aid announced as part of a $4 billion investment in Central America, because we're going to go down there and throw money at problems, thinking, oh, we'll just build such a wonderful life here in your impoverished country that you won't want to come to the United States. You swallowing that? You buying that? No, you're not, because you're educated, you're smart, you know it's not going to work. But Kamala Harris, one breath separated from saying she did not discuss Title 42 with Mexican authorities, said, do I declare this trip a success? Yes, I do. Well, the people on the five, Greg Gutfeld, Katie Pavlich, Dana Perino, were talking about it, and they do not deem it a success at all.
I think that she honestly thought that she was going to get away with saying, I've been to the border, I've been to the border, and that the media would just accept that and move on. So I'm glad that Lester Holt pointed out that actually you haven't been to the border as vice president.
To what Jesse said, it's not that she doesn't expect hard questions. She doesn't even expect obvious questions. I mean, she just wants to laugh over a glass of Chablis. And I bet she's a barrel of laughs. But she needs some serious media training when she's nervous, she makes you nervous. It's like watching a drunk play Jenga. You don't know what's going to happen. And it's not like she's hopeless. It's that she's hapless. It's like she doesn't really want to be there. And then she's laughing like, don't you agree with me? It's like so sad but weird at the same time. I enjoy it.
So, Dana, you know, they continue to be asked about this. The White House is getting pressed on this, not just from the VP's office, but from the White House podium. What is the reason why they wouldn't go to the border, or at least just, you know, when does it become a liability for them?
I don't think media training is going to solve this problem.
Yeah, it might be too late.
This is not a media training issue. Don't blame the communicators. It is her problem, right? If her instincts were not on the day that he said, I'd like you to go to the border. Remember, she got the border assignment because she laughed when she was asked if they were going to go to the border. And they're like, okay, now we're going to put you in charge of the border. 5 days later, her office put out a note. Like, actually, let's be clear. It's not the border. It's like they want to separate the border from Guatemala, mm-hmm. when the root cause is actually at the border. And the Guatemalan president said that. Yeah. He said, as soon as you said you're going to reunite families and children, the coyotes showed up and said, okay, well, who wants to go? Mm-hmm. And that's when everybody started headed out.
Yeah.
So if your instinct is not to say, thank you for the assignment, sir, I will be leaving on Thursday morning and I will do a fact-finding mission. I'll come back and tell you all about it. That would have solved all of this. Instead, they didn't call it a crisis, and they just didn't go and deal with the issue, which means that now they have a big political problem on their hands.
Yeah, they do. But I would disagree with Dana Perino on one count. I don't think the problem is at the border. The problem is at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. The problem is in their messaging. The problem is that it's too late now to say what Kamala Harris said the other day. Don't come. Don't come. Don't come. And I'm so exhausted with the double standard. Can you imagine if Donald Trump had said, don't come? Oh, you don't have to imagine Donald Trump saying that. He did say that. And what was the response when he said that? Well, it's horrible and it's racist and it's mean. And Joe Biden, surge, come on, I would say surge, surge, come to the border. And Kamala Harris tweeted the same thing. We should have open border. So as I said many, many times during the campaign, any idiot can do demo. Any moron can grab a crowbar and criticize policy. Fabricate, lie, exaggerate, misdiagnose situations and say, well, it's not working, that's terrible. It's another thing entirely to get in and have to craft your own policy that actually works. And because they have such unhinged hatred for Donald Trump, they can't take anything he did and just continue to do it. That would be against their religion.